And now, from the diamond to the dugout, it's the Twins Nation Podcast. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's your host.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Twins Nation Podcast. I am your co-host, Matt Hoffman, and you can start by following the show at Twins Nation Pod on Twitter or X, whichever you want to call it. We also have a Facebook page if you guys want to, or I should say a Facebook group, if you want to just kind of follow along with that, as just post some news, Twins news coming up and when things happen. Also, if you want to follow me on Twitter or X, you can follow me at MDHoffman61. So, I hope everybody had themselves a good holiday season. I know it's January 24th right now when I'm recording this, but if you're like normal families, you probably have already all had your Christmas done and holidays celebrated, but unfortunately, it's still Christmas time for my family, so... So let's get into some Twins news and probably the biggest news, kind of what I was holding out for here. Joe Mauer, what can you say? He's now, officially a Hall of Fame catcher. It's kind of crazy to say that. I remember a few years ago when that discussion even came up, you know, I had to kind of sit and think about it. You know, it's, you know, Joe Mauer, it's like, does he deserve to be in the Hall of Fame? And Twins fans being probably harder on him more than any other fans in Major League, I wasn't sure. I was kind of skeptical. I just, you know, I didn't think he had that, you know, that long establishment of, you know, of building himself a resume for the Hall of Fame. And, you know, and after he was done playing, and the more I kind of sat back and looked at it, you know, because, I mean, I was really hard on him, you know, much like most people. You know, I sat back and kind of looked at his numbers, and it's like, you know, I think there's a real legitimate argument that he could be, you know, definitely talked for the Hall of Fame. And, you know, being a first ballot Hall of Famer, that's really crazy in itself, as I definitely did not expect him to get in that right away. But hey, you know what? He just barely squeaked by. He got 76.1% of the votes, which I believe you have to have 75 to even be in the Hall of Fame. So he joins Todd Helton, longtime Colorado Rocky, and then Adrian Beltran. Who two very good other respectable players. So with that, Joe Mauer kind of joins Paul Molitor and Jack Morris as the only two hometown Twins to both be in, you know, to all be in the Hall of Fame. So I think that's kind of a neat deal. He's also the third catcher ever in the Hall of Fame to be on the first ballot, along with Ivan Rodriguez and Johnny Bench. So that's a pretty good company right there. I would definitely agree with that. But kind of getting back into what I was saying, it's like, you know, looking back at his numbers and, you know, and what he's really accomplished as a player. I mean, not just on the field, but, you know, just off the field also. I mean, on the field, you know, his three Golden Gloves, you know, he's had three batting titles, five Silver Sluggers. He's a six-time All-Star. And, you know, who can not forget that memorable 2009, you know, where he was MVP. I mean, I'm, you know, looking at his stats, you know, he hit 365 that year with a 444 on base. And he hit 21 home runs that season, you know, and had just a little over 600 plate appearances. And, you know, that's quite a year. Definitely by far his best year. But, you know, even when he kind of started to fade a little bit as a catcher and kind of stepped into that first baseman's role, he was still a really good hitter. I mean, I know he had that one kind of down season, which a down season for Joe Mauer was batting 261, but still had a 363 on base, which is pretty good. You know, I mean, his numbers were still respectable. And I knew that him playing first base would be almost a little bit of an argument on whether he was, you know, whether he was worthy of the Hall of Fame right away. But, you know, and then off the field, I mean, I don't know Joe personally. But, you know, you hear enough stories about him from the media, fans, you know, his teammates at... He was just, he's a one-of-a-kind player. I mean, he's got such a great attitude, and you know, there's really hardly anything you could say about the guy that would be a negative to him other than he's maybe too nice. But yeah, so I just thought that was really great, really awesome to be able to witness a guy that I pretty much watched, you know, from the time he came up at the age of 21, you know, and got to see him play until he retired, and, you know, and just got to, you know, watch his career from far away. And you know, he's my age, so actually I think Joe is, he might be just a few days younger than me. So anyways, but it's just amazing to just have somebody, you know, that you watched, you know, in your time in baseball, to, you know, watch them start, come out of the farm system, watch them play as a rookie, you know, in their younger years, and just watch them progress and peak as a player, and then, you know, to get an accomplishment like this in the end. I mean, it's just, it's really fun to watch. So, so congratulations to you, Joe, and enjoy the Hall of Fame, man. Getting caught up on some arbitration news, which, so we had some players on arbitration who were up for arbitration, but did settle with the team. We had Ryan Jeffers, who agreed to a one-year contract, avoiding arbitration, and his new contract this season is going to be $2.4 million, which is good. I'm glad we got, you know, glad that that was done and settled. I think he's going to definitely be probably our number one catcher. He definitely set himself a higher ceiling going from last season. So I'm kind of looking forward to that. Not sure what the story is going to be with Vasquez. I mean, I know the Twins are still trying to shop him around, but we'll see kind of what happens from there. You know, $10 million for a second catcher is a little spendy, but you never know what could happen. Next on the list, we had Alex Kirilloff, who avoided arbitration with a $1.35 million deal. So, haven't heard much on his recovery with his surgery over the season. Moving along, we got Jorge Alcala, who avoided arbitration by taking a $790,000 contract here, which includes a 1.5 mutual option next year. And it has a $55,000 buyout. So, Willie Castro will be back, obviously is back with a $3.3 million deal. Caleb Thielbar will have a $3.2 million. And this next one kind of surprised me a little bit. Kyle Farmer, who I know he wanted something a little, like he, I think he was around the 6.5 range. But, you know, the Twins settled for, they settled with just a little over $6 million, avoiding arbitration. And also with this deal, there's a 6.25 option. There's a $1 million option in there for 2025 with a $350,000 buyout. And then the only player that did not avoid arbitration was Nick Gordon, which, you know, I know what he wants, but I really have a hard time thinking he's going to get it, especially with the injury he had last season. But anyways, he was the lone player, and according to Star Tribune's Bobby Nightingale, the Twins could be headed to arbitration with Gordon. Gordon is estimated to get $1 million through arbitration, so it'll be interesting to see if both teams can come to what they can kind of come to with an agreement. So I'm sure we'll hear more on that once we get closer to spring training. So now the Twins they made a few transactions, nothing really major, I would say. Earlier in the off season here, the Twins went after and signed Josh Staumont, which, if some of you guys are not familiar with Josh Staumont, he is a relief pitcher from the Kansas City Royals, who his first couple years he wasn't too bad. I mean, he had some decent numbers. His ERA was not too shabby, but definitely his whip was a little bit higher than what I would consider, you know, a decent, you know, as, you know, consider of an average pitcher. But, I mean, he's also been kind of riddled with some injuries. I know the last couple seasons he's only pitched probably maybe 57 innings, 58 innings due to injuries. But, you know, honestly, I'm okay with this signing. The Twins are really only signing him. They're signing him for just under $1 million, which, and this is the way I look at it. You know, in football, they say sometimes the wide receivers are kind of a dime a dozen type position. Well, in baseball, I kind of consider relief pitching a dime a dozen position, because you can get, you know, for that kind of money, you know, for the money that you could spend on relief pitching, you can definitely take a flyer on some of these guys and have it really not cost you anything. But no, I mean, I know some people are kind of upset that, you know, we haven't made not a big move in relief pitching. But, you know, Staumont had some decent high regards before, you know, some of his injuries. And you never know. I mean, he could come out of that. I mean, look at Brock Stewart. You know, Brock Stewart was a guy that we brought in, you know, had, you know, his career was kind of on halt for a little bit because of injuries. And he's kind of, you know, we've caught lightning in a bottle with him, and we're rolling with it. And, you know, another one is Josh Paddock, you know, who just got done, you know, having his second Tommy John within the last year. I mean, the Twins are known for taking these kind of guys and, you know, having a little bit of success with them. And if they don't, you know what, they're gone. We just, you know, they're not going to cost us a heck of a lot. Also, the Twins claimed Ryan Jensen off waivers from the Marlins. All I can tell you about Ryan Jensen is I know he's a former first-round pick. He's been with the Cubs minor league through, you know, in 2019 through 2023, and then he was traded in midseason to Seattle, I believe. But I wouldn't look anything more than him to be kind of really pitching depth with the Saints. I mean, he may get a call up maybe once in a while to maybe fill in for fill in a spot for a game or two, you know, probably nothing more than that. Probably another guy the Twins just signed recently, or had signed to, AJ Alexi. I think he's going to be another minor league depth guy. He's played in the minors with the, Texas and Chicago White Sox. He could start, not only relieve. He's really only pitched about 30 innings in two seasons with Texas. So he hasn't really, he hasn't really been up for a long, you know, a long time to really know what he can do. But he's kind of one of them guys where if we got to bring somebody up just for a few games, I mean, you know, whether it's to relieve pitch or, you know, or maybe even start, depends on what the Twins kind of want to do with him. Also, the Twins had signed Nico Goodrum. I don't know if you guys know, remember Nico Goodrum. He started with the Twins. He was in the farm system back in the mid-2000s. I know he played a little bit in 2017 with the Twins. He only had 17 at-bats that year, I believe. Then he played about 4 years with Detroit. Had a couple okay seasons. I mean, he's not really a big, well-known hitter. You know, he's been known to maybe hit a few home runs here and there, usually kind of around that, maybe that 5 to 10 range. He might peak 15. I know he got over 15 one season. I think he got 16 in 2018 with Detroit. Didn't play last year, as he was over in Korea when he was let go by the Houston Astros in 2022. I kind of like this move. He's one of them guys. He can kind of play a little bit of everywhere. I definitely see him being that, you know, where Willie Castro was at the beginning of the season last year, you know, kind of on the outside looking in, pot, you know, just kind of waiting to see if that, if something happens and that 26th man spot opens up that he can get in. If not, you know, he can definitely be very helpful depth, you know, just sitting down in AAA. I don't expect him to put up the amazing season that Willie Castro did last year or nothing. But, hey, you never know what happened. You know, things could happen. But I think he's just kind of more there for, you know, as a veteran-type guy who can step up if we need, you know, if we need him just in case somebody goes down. Also, we had Matt Bauman, who is, I don't know much about Matt Bauman. He's just a relief pitcher. Spent most of his time in the minors. Anyways, he signed a minor league contract with the Twins. And then finally today, the Twins claimed Bubba Thompson off waivers from the New York Yankees. And I just kind of got to know who Bubba Thompson is. I have heard of him, but really didn't know much about him. Played a couple years with the Rangers. He didn't play much last season. I think he only had like 53 at-bats. I think he hit 170, maybe he hit 237 on base. The year before that, I know he batted like 265 and he had a 302 on base. He's a guy that can play the outfield. He can play the corners. He can play center field. Now, I'm not sure what the Twins are thinking on this move. I don't know if he's going to be another depth guy, you know, if sitting in the minors, just, you know, as a just-in-case thing. Or is this a guy who's going to come up and see some time, possibly, if we don't get a center fielder signed, you know, in the offseason or into spring training? And if he's, you know, if he's somebody that'll be there if Buxton's not ready to go. I just kind of hope that's not the case. You know, I just hope it's just a guy they just want to kind of take a look at during spring training, see what he can do, and, you know, send him down to AAA, and hopefully he'll just stay down there and only come up if he's really needed. So I'd like to think the Twins have some better options at center field than Bubba Thompson, to be all honest with you. So yeah, that's so far, that's what the Twins have done this offseason. I know it's not much, and you guys got to realize right now, it's only the end of January, February, and then into spring training. There's a lot of teams that'll start making some more moves, because to be honest with you, I was looking back at some of the transactions from the start of the offseason to now, and this has got to be probably one of the more boring off seasons I've seen as far as baseball, because usually this is my favorite time of the year. I get pretty excited to watch, all the plays, I watch where players go, from one team to another, and the whole thing excites me, and it's been kind of boring. So there really hasn't, you had your first wave of free agents that kind of went off the list, and then, you had some of your second wave guys, and then it just seems like that third wave and down is just, on down, those tier of players are just, they're still hanging out there. So speaking of free agents, kind of get you guys updated on free agents that the Twins let go, or the free agents the Twins had last year that are now with different teams. Obviously, you guys know Sonny Gray and Maeda are both gone. Maeda going to Detroit, and Sonny Gray going to St. Louis. Emilio Pagan with Cincinnati. Dylan Floro, who was pretty much here for about a cup of coffee, had signed a one-year deal with the Washington Nationals, and as did Joey Gallo. So Joey Gallo found work. Hopefully he can find the ball with his bat. He signed a one-year deal, I believe, for around $5 million. So you guys all know Tyler Mahle had signed with Texas. Jordan Luplo actually had signed with a minor league deal with the Atlanta Braves. And then just recently in the news too, Miguel Sano had signed with the minor league team of the the Anaheim or the Angels. He signed with the minor league team of the Angels. So it sounds like he's been kind of ripping it up down in I believe he's playing in the Dominican, if I remember correctly. So there you go. I mean, there's still three guys out there that the Twins had last year that are still available. Dallas Keuchel, which I really highly doubt the Twins are definitely not going to go after him, but not sure if any other teams will, unless they're really desperate for an arm. But Solano's still out there. I would not mind having Solano back. And of course, Michael A. Taylor's still out there, and I think he's pretty much, I would consider, probably the best center fielder out there right now in the market. I just don't know. I'm still on that whole thing where the Twins definitely have to make some moves in order to, if they want to even consider bringing Michael A. Taylor back, especially for what I think he's worth now, because obviously with the season he had last year, his value has totally went up. I bet it's went up at least 50% from what it was last season. So I think he wants around like $9-10 million a year from his, I think he was making somewhere between 3 and 5 last season. So most definitely. I mean, he definitely deserves a bigger contract, and at his age, he's definitely not a young player. You definitely want to, get the best you can get, because you're not guaranteed anything. If the Twins really want to get him back, which, I know us Twins fans do, I definitely see them, they're going to have to move some guys. Whether it's Vasquez, maybe they still plan on moving Farmer, even though they agreed before avoiding arbitration. Or Kepler, you know, I know his name's been mentioned a few times with some teams that are definitely looking for a left-handed batter in the corner outfield position. All I can say is just be patient, Twins fans. I mean, it's it is hard to sit and wait, you know, for your team to make a move, you know. But right now, the situation the Twins have kind of, I don't know if I want to say put themselves in, but the situation they want to be in right now, this, you know, they're not going to make them big moves, you know, that this soon. So they're going to be kind of sitting in the weeds waiting for things to happen and kind of, you know, make a move from there. So other than that, I really don't have much going on. Hopefully in the next few weeks, you know, the Twins do something so we can record another podcast here and keep you guys in the loop of what your favorite team is doing. So all I can say is I hope you guys all have a good night, and please follow the show on Twitter at Twins Nation Pod, or you can follow myself at MDHoffman61. You can follow the show on, whether it's Spotify, you can follow us on iHeartRadio or anywhere you listen to a podcast. Go ahead and give us a rating. Give me 5 stars, 4 stars. I'll take a rating. So anything to drive that funky algorithm up. So with that being said, I hope you guys all have a good evening. Until next time, have a good one.